up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Happy Friday. Oh, my goodness. Three football games left in the 2018 NFL season. That's how it works. It's 2019. There are just three games left. I know I, for one, am sad. I'm Will Brinson. I'm the host of the daily CBS Sports NFL podcast. If you landed here, thanks for coming along. Look forward. Hope you stick through us. We're going to be live from Radio Row throughout the Super Bowl. We'll be on CBS Sports HQ, I think, which is insane. Why would they give us our own show? It makes no sense. Probably because we know people like Pete Prisco. Pete, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Are you sad or happy at this time of year?
Both.
RJ White also joining the show. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How you doing?
Are you sad or happy?
I'm pretty happy. I mean, it's a grind getting through the regular season. You know, it's nice to be wrapping up. So who's going to finally win this thing and kind of recharge in the off season. You know, for most people, I got to, you know, start buckling down on the draft. But you know, it's nice to get to that off season and not, you know, grinding through lines.
You know what's exciting is that this podcast will remain daily even when the NFL season ends. What a thrill it is to do it every single day. No, I'm just kidding. I like doing it every single day. Before we get to our picks for the week, I do want to talk on some news. We only have two games left, and so we'll cover those games. But, Pete, I am curious, what are your thoughts on some of the coaching hires, specifically Adam Gase in New York? Do you love tacos?
What's the matter with Adam Gase? He's a good football coach.
I think Adam Gase is a great football coach. I'm curious, what are you are a big Adam Gase proponent. You know Adam Gase pretty well. I think you were ahead of the curve on predicting he would be a head coach at some point. Probably disagree that he disagree with the firing in Miami. What are your thoughts on his fit with New York and that culture? The reporters up there.
Look, it's a great job. I mean, you got a young quarterback to build around. And you got $115 million in cap money. It's a great job. I mean, and you know, hiring Greg Williams is a smart move too. I mean, Greg Williams will bring life to that defense and he'll get after it. So I think it's a great fit. And I think the Jets, you know, with all that money, if Mike McCagnan can't fix it, they got problems. Mm.
What are your thoughts on John DeFilippo coming to Jacksonville as the offensive coordinator? Doug Marrone staunchly denies it has anything to do with Nick Foles joining the Jaguars. Could you see you and Foles? Well, you don't live in Jacksonville anymore. Could you see Foles in Jacksonville?
Yes, I could, actually. Oh. You know, look, they would – from what I understand, they won't trade and pay him, but they'll pay him. Mm. And, you know, how much, who knows? It just depends on how much they clean out in that cap. But, yeah, and the DeFilippo hire, I think they wanted to get Monken, but nobody's told me that 100%, and he obviously went to, Cleveland, which is a better situation with the quarterback the way it is. So, and more stability. Look, you're taking over a job where the coach and the front office could all be blown out, you know, after the season. Then where does that leave you? So I think it's a little risk there. And here's the other thing. Is Marrone going to let DeFilippo throw the ball around? Mm. I mean, you know, why did he get fired in Minnesota? Because Zimmer didn't want him throwing the ball around as much as he did. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
RJ, what are your thoughts on Gladys Knight performing the halftime show?
Love it.
I mean, the national anthem, what am I talking about? Not the halftime show.
Atlanta legend, you know, it's going to be great. You know, a lot of times you get these younger artists that come in. I'm not going to be the old curmudgeon that shakes his fist at the clouds like some people on this podcast, but a lot of the times you get the young guy, you know, singers that come in and they're going all over and the riffs and it's all about the anthem's all about them. That's not going to be Gladys Knight.
Shakes his fist at the clouds, RJ?
Brinson raised his hand. I was talking about basically Pete Prisco, but
I don't say anything to the clouds. I put it out there, period.
Pete, I'm kidding.
Will you be dancing in the it's in Atlanta. Will you be dancing in the aisles at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome when Maroon 5 plays Moves Like Jagger?
No, I hate the halftime show.
I do too. I like the halftime show. I dislike
It lasts forever. Just get the damn game going again. I can't look. If you want to go to a concert, you pay to go to a concert. You want to go to a football game, you go to a football game. I'm in the minority on that, I think, and I think you guys probably would agree with me, both of you.
I like the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
I don't mind it because Super Bowl is more about than just the football game. It's obviously the most watched you know, a thing on TV all year. You got hundreds of millions of people watching all around. If you want to spice it up with a little entertainment that's gonna attract more casual fans, do it. You know, I can wait an extra 10 minutes for the second half to start. I don't mind.
Pete, what do you think about the conspiracy theory that Maroon 5 was the only band they could get to play because I'm being electrocuted. Excuse me. Sorry. Just kidding.
They're the only one they get to play. Why?
Because of don't people think it's like like people boycotted the NFL because of Kaepernick? What do you think about that? That's right up your wheelhouse, right?
I don't care. Boycott. You know what? Be a brilliant performer and boycott the chance to have everybody in the world see your performance. That'd be brilliant for you.
That's a good point. I would have liked to have seen like Big Boy, like some Outkast, some Atlanta, you know, Atlanta legends.
They added Travis Scott, right? And Big Boy, is it Big Boy on it now too?
No, is Big Boy on it now? Is that right? All right, cool.
Big Boy's one of the guests.
This is not the best halftime show, the most enjoyable halftime thing I think I ever, Prince is my favorite halftime show, but, The Who, played, I think the first, maybe that was the Manning, Breeze Super Bowl?
No, they were like, broken down old men when they played.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. I do like The Who though.
Up with People still my favorite.
Who?
Up with People. You don't remember? That was I think that was like one of the first halftime shows ever.
Wait, I don't remember Super Bowl. No. Super Bowl 16. I don't remember it. I mean, I obviously don't remember this.
Up with People.
Okay. I will check that out after the podcast.
I don't even remember what it was. Look, you know me. When it comes to that stuff, I'm a curmudgeon. If I want to go see music, I go see music. I don't really care. The best halftime show ever was U2 when they did right after 9/11. That was fantastic.
Interesting take. It's a great take. Okay. One more piece of news I want to ask you about. What do you think, Pete? You're into Twitter beefs. That's sort of your thing. You like to tweet a lot. You like to fight people on Twitter.
I don't tweet a lot. I fight a lot.
See ya. Would you say see ya to Antonio Brown or see ya to Emmanuel Sanders?
What, for Emmanuel Sanders for calling him out?
Well, Emmanuel Sanders said something on NFL Network.
And then
Antonio Brown called him out yesterday and said that Emmanuel Sanders is the one who skipped rehab to go talk about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown also called Bruce Arians a diva because he wears Kangoo hats and sunglasses and glasses and called Bruce Arians a diva. And then Emmanuel Sanders, like, told Antonio Brown to take his foot off the gas. Who is winning and who's losing in this Twitter beef?
Who cares? It doesn't matter. Unless they play together. That'll be interesting.
What would you do? What's happening with Antonio Brown? What do you think? What do you think is happening? What do you think will happen?
They're going to get rid of him and they're not going to get a first round pick for him.
Oh,
they'll take a 2 and get rid of him.
Where should he go?
Oakland? Put him in purgatory.
I was going to say they have 3 first round picks. You know, if you say he's not worth that, you can get like one of the first second round picks, you know, because they have, what, 36 or whatever, 35, 36, whatever the second round pick will be. And if you're Oakland, you bring him in. That's, you know, more of a superstar than Amari Cooper. We can argue about who's the better receiver and is he worth all that money. But when you're going to Vegas and you want a face to put on the billboards, that's Antonio Brown.
All right, let's get to the game. I'm with you. I think Oakland fits and you can send him. He can have fun catching 95 passes and never winning any football games. That'll be exciting. What was your one mistake from the divisional round that you wish you could take back, RJ? In terms of our betting and by the way, our standings currently, I'll bring these up. RJ is winning, no surprise. RJ up pretty big right now. He has $920 left, so you're only down $80. Pete has $670 left. I've got $375. Nick has $125 left. RJ, what is your one mistake that you regret from divisional round?
Going against Belichick and Brady in Foxborough. I mean, that was, in retrospect, that looks pretty dumb. We handicapped the game by seeing the overall strength of the Chargers, you kind of handicap it in a bubble, but you don't take into account how much the Chargers traveled, how much of an effect playing in Foxborough in January is going to have. And in retrospect, when that line started coming down because the public was all over the Chargers, we should have been all on the Patriots. So that was pretty dumb by us to be heavy on the Chargers in that sense.
Yeah,
I agree 100%. That's the worst pick we had. It's not even close. And then the more you look at it, the Colts, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the Cowboys. I can't fault myself for that one. I still, even though it didn't play out, I would take him again. The other two, when you really think about it, they were dumb.
Yeah, it really was like two trendy underdogs on the road. There was three trendy underdogs on the road. Really four, I guess. Were the Eagles trendy? No, the Saints were the trendy favorite. So there's three trendy underdogs on the road. When I saw there were, this is Pete, and you always talk about this, and we always joke about it, but I tend to agree with you to some degree. Like, having to make your picks on a Monday the week before and put your picks out there, and then you want to stick with them. You don't want to flip-flop all over the place and change them up. I was in on the Cowboys, in on the Colts, in on the Chargers, and as the week progressed and you sort of saw, like RJ said, everybody's on the Chargers. I mean, when I saw, like, somebody tweeted out a picture, it was like Get Up, with Mike Greenberg's show, and every single person on the show picked the Cowboys to win straight up. At that point, I was like, oh my God, this is a huge mistake. Everybody's flipping to the Colts because of the weather, but Andrew Luck hadn't played. I mean, it was just, we bailed on better quarterbacks and better coaches in order to take trendy dogs in the points. And that's rookie gambling 101. And it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Let's put it this way. It wasn't a good weekend for the Pick Six boys.
Mm-mm, not good at all. But we're going to try and bounce back. I got a little catching up to do. Pete can still catch RJ pretty easily, and RJ has promised to play aggressively so as not to ruin the game for everybody. Although I don't know that turtling up is the play here, because I think you could have a pretty wild swing in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, there's,
should if we you have money left? You might not have any money left.
Right, but if I were playing to win here, you know, and just trying to win the game, I'd be very conservative with my bets, you know, taking $25 bets, $50 bets here and there, thinking that with only three games left, Pete isn't going to jump, you know, how many, $300 to beat me. He's not going to.
I disagree. If we're doing a $25 minimum, like, and you take the first score of the game as a, like a safety, James,
down $25.
Right. James White to score the first touchdown or something. I don't know. I mean, or whoever it is. It's not that.
Yeah, if you hit some long shot bets, you're going to win no matter what I do. If I'm going conservative, that's a smart place. Just be conservative if I'm just trying to win this game. But you know, it's not fun like that. Who wants to see me just like maintain my lead by being, you know, turtling up and by being conservative? So I'm going to bet most of the bankroll here, and we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, let's dive into it. Let's hit the NFC first. The Saints are hosting the Rams. It's the early game on Fox in New Orleans. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, go ahead, RJ.
We're betting a 3.5, right?
We are. Thank you for doing my job for me. As always, the line here, Saints -3.5, over under 56.5, Saints money line -175, Rams money line +155, Saints -3 in the first half over under 28.
Yeah, so we talked, you know, the New Orleans offense hasn't looked great in the second half, but I think people are ignoring how great the defense has looked. They've given up 17 points or less in 7 of their last 9 games. The exceptions were against a desperate Pittsburgh team that really needed that win, and then week 17, which there was obviously a throwaway game for the Saints. When you look at LA, Goff has had 220 plus passing yards once in his last 6 and 6 total touchdowns in that stretch. And 4 of those came in one game against San Fran. So 5 of his 6 games, he has not been playing well. The Rams weren't that great on the road against good teams all season. There was a close win at Seattle and close win at Denver. And then you got the losses at New Orleans and Chicago. The other 4, I think, weren't that good teams. You can kind of throw them away. The Saints allowed 100 yards rushing just 4 times, 2nd in yards per attempt in the regular season. So I'm not sure that we're going to see the Gurley CJ Anderson tandem do what they did last week. I think even with Sheldon Rankins out, the Saints will game plan to take them away and make Goff beat them. You know, Rankins was hurt in the first quarter last week, and the Eagles, the rush he still did well against the Eagles. I know the Eagles don't have a great rush offense, but it's not like they completely fell apart and let the Eagles run all over them. The Eagles had the lead in that game too. So if you're the Eagles, you want to run the ball and you know, establish control and win that game. I don't think McVay can protect Goff all game and win. I think when the game goes on Goff's shoulders, I don't think he's going to get it done. New Orleans averages nearly 35 points at home. You throw out that week 17 and you get about 34.8 or something. And the Rams D isn't that great. So I could see New Orleans get into that 35 range. I don't think the Rams come anywhere close. New Orleans has the third lowest turnover rate. So I think the Rams aren't going to get the turnovers they need to keep this game close. What I'm going to do is I'm going to buy the half point to get to 3. I'm going to lay $125 to win 100. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put 100 on the under of 56.5 because I don't think the Rams offense is going to be that explosive. But I am going to hedge a little bit by putting $50 on the Rams +3 on the first half line. And that's because New Orleans hasn't had more than a 3-point lead at half since Thanksgiving. They just get out to slow starts every single week for whatever reason. So I think that's a pretty good play there, especially if you don't want to put a huge amount on the Saints, not thinking they're going to cover 3.5. And then I got one more little prop bet. The longest touchdown over-under in this game is 50.5 yards. That's really high. The New Orleans has only scored two touchdowns of that length this year and given up three. Rams have scored two and given up two. But we've seen New Orleans, Drew Brees hasn't played as well. This deep ball isn't there. I mean, I don't see this being a game where you're going to get these long touchdowns. So I'm going to put $100 on the under 50.5 yards being the longest touchdown in this game.
And so you want how much on the under of the longest TD?
$100.
$100 on the under 50.5 yards longest TD. So I have you down for 125 in the Saints minus 3 to win 100. $50 in the Rams first half. How much on the actual game under?
100.
100 Rams Saints under. Can you dive into that a little bit more on the under? Because I think, you know, you look at it, game in a championship games in a dome, every single one of them since 2000 has gone over.
Yeah, and you would expect that if the Saints offense was playing at its peak, but, you know, playoff games in a dome in general go over, and then you go to last week and you see at 2014, you know, 20-14 game, 34 points and come anywhere near the over. That's because I don't think Breeze is at his best right now. For whatever reason, he's not hitting those downfield passes. They're having to work for their drives and they're having to chew up clock. I really think that they're going to be able to attack the Rams running the ball because the Rams have a pretty good pass defense this year, but their DVOA against the run, I think, was something like 26th or 27th. I don't have the number in front of me. So that's how you attack the Rams is running the ball.
And
I
think Rams are 28th, by the way, in DVOA.
So I think that's how they'll be able to do that. You mix it up with Ingram inside, Kamara outside, and getting the running backs going. That's going to chew up some clock. And I don't think Jared Goff has it in him to have a huge game. He just hasn't looked good in the second half. So I don't see either one of these teams getting to 30. So I think you could see something like Saints 27, Rams 17, and it didn't come anywhere near the over.
All right, Pete, what do you think about this game?
I'm on the other side. I think the Rams are going to go in there and pound the football just like they did against the Cowboys. No Rankins in the middle of that defense is big for the Saints. I think that run game, everything they do offensively is predicated off what they do on that run game, the wide zone. I think Gurley will carry it a lot more than it did a week ago. They can keep Breeze off the field. The Saints, as RJ mentioned, they haven't been great on offense. I'm not a big fan of the Rams defense either, but I just think the Saints offensively are very limited in terms of what they can do in their passing game because they don't have the great weapons. You know, Michael Thomas, great player, but you can, you know, we saw the Cowboys take him away. I think they're going to put Talib on him this week. Last time he torched Peters a bunch, I think they'll put Talib on him. They usually don't travel their corners, but I think they will here. I'll take 150 on the Rams. I think the game is going under. I'm with RJ on that one. I will put 50 on the under in the game.
Why do you think it's going under 56.5?
So I think they're going to control the clock and run the ball. And, you know, let's be honest here. The Saints, for all the bells and whistles too, just like the Rams, they're a run team. They want to run the ball too. So I think that the clock will tick off you. It's not going to be as low scoring as last week's game with the Saints and the Eagles, but I think it'll be a lot lower than that number.
Of note here on that under, because I mean, look, it's hard for me to get away from the initial gut reaction. Like, this game is going over. I mean, it just look like Rams Saints. It looks like a game that's going to go over. If you look at New Orleans average 3 minutes and 15 seconds per drive, which is the longest in the NFL, the Rams are just 17th in terms of average drive time, but they were 3rd in terms of drive success rate, according to Football Outsiders, which is basically did a drive result in a first down or a touchdown. The obvious situation being either it burned a bunch of clock because it's a first down or they got it in a short yardage and they scored. And the Saints were 2nd in that category. So you are talking about two teams that can have longer sustained drives that want to keep the other offense off the field, that want to rest their defense a little bit in that sense. So I kind of think that makes sense. I mean, again, I go back to the Falcons Packers game from after the 2016 season, 59.5 in Atlanta, 44-21 total. I mean, it didn't blast through it, but it certainly cleared it. Pete, is there any reason to be concerned about Drew Brees' arm given what you saw from him on the deep ball last
No. week? No. What, the one deep ball?
He had two he missed.
Well, the one was to answer your question, no.
Okay.
I'm going to sound the alarm now. I'm going to sound the Twitter police.
This is a very viable question to ask an NFL analyst on a daily NFL podcast where we're trying
The answer is no.
Okay. I mean, he missed two. He wasn't bad. He completed 70%
of his passes. Well, Brady missed one down the field too. He couldn't reach him. Is his arm done?
I was going to ask you the same question in the next game. I mean,
are they as good as their arm as good as it's been? Probably not, but done? No.
Okay. Well, but does that factor into your over-under analysis at all, or the Rams Saints analysis, knowing that Breeze has missed deep shots the last few weeks?
No.
RJ?
Yeah, a little. I mean, I just don't think the big play is going to be there. They don't score long touchdowns. I gave you those long touchdown numbers earlier. And yeah, if it's even a little bit off, we saw that first deep ball turn into an interception right away. You don't have to do much to let the other team get
that one. Wasn't the problem of not being able to drive the ball. If you go back and look at it, he threw it too far to the inside. He missed it. It wasn't a not throwing it too far. He just missed it.
Okay. I think the problem,
RJ, with the deep, with their pen, other than Thomas, who doesn't run that well, they don't have a real threat. Ted Ginn can run, but he's been out all year, and what does he drop every fourth pass that's in the nearest vicinity?
Yeah, I just think to get over this total, both quarterbacks are going to have to be completely on point, you know, playing at their best football like they were early in the season. And in the second half, we just haven't seen that from these guys. So that's why I think the under is pretty comfortable.
Okay. All right. I am going to also, let's see, what do I have? $375 to play with. This is a lot trickier than actually having $1,000 to play with. I don't know if you know that. Can I buy back? Can I buy more?
No.
The good news is, though, you don't have like money to waste on stupid, you know, parlays and
none of these things have hit
24-1 odds, you know, that aren't going to come in.
Right. Let's just say, you're right. Okay, I'm gonna do the same thing you're doing, RJ. I was taking the Saints anyway. I was gonna take them 3.5, but they are 3 now in a lot of shops, so to speak. And I don't want to be the guy who you push and I lose. That would suck, and that would effectively end the contest. So I will do 125 on the Saints -3 to win 100. I think the Saints are the better team. I thought it was kind of interesting. I don't know if you read that Ringer article, but the Rams player said that Cowboys defense was tipping their plays as what they were going to do against the Rams offense. The Saints have seen them twice now, once in the preseason, once in the regular season that game. I don't think they'll be as fooled. The Sheldon Rankins injury, of course, is a big issue. But I think for when you're looking at outsmarting on the Rams defensive side of the ball versus the Saints offense, much harder to outsmart Sean Payton than it is Jason Garrett. Wade Phillips did a great job of that last week. I don't think that he will have as much success. And they're going to have to do something. I'm curious, Pete, what do you think they're going to do in terms of matching up on Michael Thomas? Because Marcus Peters has been talking that trash about a bowl of gumbo.
You don't pay attention. You didn't hear what I just said before. I think they don't usually travel their corners. But I think they're going to put Tlaib on him more than normal in this one.
I
remember,
I wouldn't pay
attention. He destroyed Peters last week.
Yeah. So they'll probably try and put Tlaib on him as much as possible.
I would think.
But not have him follow him to like the slot or to, you know.
Not all the time. No.
Okay. Interesting. That'll be a fun chess match to watch to see how Sean Payton tries to get Thomas on Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters, of course, known to make big plays, known to give up huge plays as well. So I got 125 on the Saints, -3 to win 100. That's the only bet I'm going to have on that game. Let's take a quick break, and then we will break down the AFC Championship game.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
All right, so we need to get our bets for the AFC Championship game. RJ, you went first in the NFC, which means you get to go first in the AFC because I'm not creative enough to try to go the other way. I like one-way streets. Chiefs are -3 at home. Nobody believes in the Patriots. I guess everybody thinks they suck. Everybody's betting against them. Chiefs are -3. Over under has moved back up to 55.5 with the news that the weather won't be that bad. Chiefs money line -150. Pats money line +130. First half Chiefs -2.5. First half over under 27.5. What say you, Mr. White?
Yeah, so Pete, do you think like the New England players like really buy into the fact that nobody believes in them, or is this like a thing they're putting on?
No. Yeah, you know, I was once at a championship game where the Patriot players came. It was against the Steelers and they won, and the Patriot players, Willie McGinnis, as a matter of fact,
was
running in.
2004, right? 2000.
We're standing there. It was at Hines Field.
Yeah, so it was 41-27. It was the final, and it was like one of the really cold championship games.
And we're standing there, and they come walking off, and none of you all believed in you. None of you believed in me. And I'm like, who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? They make up this, there's this perception out there. They make it up and they try to believe it. Good for them, but it's no truth that nobody believes in them.
Well, do you think they internalized this off the last Super Bowl with the Eagles got to play that underdogs card and nobody believes in us and the masks and saw how effective it was? And maybe there's a little mystique to the Eagles. Do you think that that's why they're doing it? And they're trying
I think they've heard some of the talk about done. You know, people buried them. How many different times this season have they been buried?
Different times over the last 18 years they've been buried? I'd like to think I haven't buried them that much over 18 years, but I haven't been doing this for 18 years. But people have been looking to bury
them. Seeing as you're captain, now you've advanced to Captain Will Brinson of the Twitter police.
Sergeant, it's Sergeant
Will. You follow everybody, so you buried them just like everybody else.
I've never buried.
Strong language. I mean, they won the division on September 1st. I mean, nobody thought they weren't making the playoffs, and then their season never starts until January anyway.
Right.
So they've won. Seems a little strong. Game.
Right. I mean, and look, okay, everybody was picking the Chargers to go in there and win because the Chargers were a chic wild card team. We admit it was stupid to bet against the Patriots, especially given the coaching mismatch. The Chargers didn't adjust to anything that the Patriots did, but the Patriots just kept, I mean, they're like, all right, if you're not going to adjust, we're just going to keep doing it and beating the crap out of you. They made a ton of mistakes. And by the way, Pete, that game you're talking about, the AFC Championship game, I believe that the temperature in that game, it's the last time that the Patriots played in a game this cold, AFC Championship game this cold, wind chill -1 at Heinz Field. The over under that game was 36.5. Patriots covered it by themselves. But look, come on. I mean, they buy into it. It's easier to buy into nobody believes in us. They've been doing it for 18 years, these plucky little underdogs.
Yeah, I just don't think that they actually believe that in their, you know, subconscious or in their hearts. They know that, like, They're the favorites every year. They're the team people expect to be in the AFC title game every year and in the Super Bowl. If they win this game, it'll be their third straight Super Bowl, fourth in the last 5 years. I mean, come on. You can't – if you're that team, you can't play the nobody – the Golden State Warriors aren't ever saying nobody believes in us. I mean, everybody believes in you. Alabama's not saying nobody believes in us.
Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Yeah, that's a good Seinfeld quote. You like that? That's how the Patriots are operating. It's not a lie if you believe it. Pete, did you watch Seinfeld? I feel like you might not have.
No, I didn't.
Wow. Okay, all right, that's weird. All right, anyway, go ahead, RJ. Sorry.
Okay, so that all being said, New England has the experience edge in this game, and everybody should believe in them because they're New England, but everything else points to Kansas City. So just like last week, I'm going to be the idiot that takes Kansas City. New England is 3-5 straight up on the road. This is the key thing. You know, if you're going to go against New England, do it when they're on the road against the best offense in the league. Two of their wins on the road were versus Derek Anderson and Josh McCown. The other was that Chicago game. Really good win for New England. They did a great job there. This is another beast playing Patrick Mahomes now, especially that we know that it's not going to be ice cold and they're just going to be pounding the ball with the run. New England barely beat Kansas City and Foxborough, and Kansas City's 8-1 in Arrowhead this year. So it really does flip on where this game is being played and the fact that it's in Arrowhead. I think you've got to like the Chiefs at -3. Their D is much better at home. They've given up 17.4 points per game at home. The run D showed up against the Colts team that had ran for 200 yards the week before. So if they're playing good run D, I don't think Michelle's getting his 150 yards. You know, they might hold the Patriots to, you know, 100, 120 rushing yards overall. And I think that's a good sign for the Chiefs defense. Tyreek Hill had 3 touchdowns in that first meeting. Has the Pats D fixed that issue? You know, I don't know. We're going to find that out pretty quickly because you know that Mahomes is going to go deep to Hill early in this game, and we'll see how that goes. The Kansas City rush offense hasn't skipped a beat with Damian Williams. 180 rush yards last week. They can get it done running the ball and passing the ball. So it's not going to be a thing where even if Belichick takes away Patrick Mahomes here and there, takes away a few receivers here and there, I think they can still get it done with the run game and extend drives that way. Kansas City has scored 26 plus points or more in every single game. You don't ever see that. You know, teams always have a bad game somewhere along the line, and the Chiefs just haven't. New England's allows 24 points per game on the road. I think Chiefs are getting to 26, 27 at least, probably over 30. It's not a lock for me because you can never count on New England, but I'll take the better quarterback at home at this line, putting $100 on the Chiefs minus three. I'm going to put 50 on the under, 55.5. Even though it is getting warmer, I'm still going to bank that. This is a little bit too high of a total for a game. If it was 54.5, I'm probably staying away, but 55.5, I kind of like the under still. And then I got one prop on this game, $50 on James White to score a touchdown at plus 120. He had a touchdown in four straight playoff games before that Chargers game where he had 15 catches. So I think it's a little anomalous that he didn't get into the end zone there when he's catching that many balls. So, you know, it's January. That's when they like to use James White. That's when people don't know how to match up with him. And I think they do that here. They get him, you know, singled on somebody, and he gets into the end zone. So plus 120 is pretty good odds for him.
All right, so let's see. We still will do our exotics at the end. I assume that you haven't used everything, but you have so far on those two games, you have laid out a total of 575. That means to me, RJ's not going to spend every dollar out here this weekend. You're going to save yourself a little something, aren't you?
A little bit.
All right, Pete, what do you think about this AFC Championship matchup? Are you going to listen to Julian Edelman and bet against the Patriots?
No, I'm not. I've learned my lesson, and I am off picking against the Patriots in the postseason. Look, I saw some really good things last week. And look, the Chargers got some garbage stuff at the end of the game, but they had a great defensive plan against them, and I think they have a good plan against Mahomes. I think they're going to be able to slow them down. They're not going to stop them. And, you know, RJ, you make good points about the Chiefs defense last week. They look much better. I just don't think they're that good. I think those guys in the secondary, the two young kids, had career days. I think Brady is going to focus on them and pick them apart. And, you know, if you can run, you mentioned the run defense, and if you can run on them a little bit, which I think the Patriots will, they had a great scheme last week to run the ball. And I know the Chargers are smaller, but the Chiefs have struggled all year against the run. I think they'll run the ball. I'm taking the Patriots. I think the Patriots win the game outright, so I'll take the Patriots in the points.
So, Eric Berry did
150, by the way.
150 Patriots plus 3 points.
Eric Berry didn't play in that game last week, and they still played pretty well. It looks like he's practicing in full this week. Do you think he makes that big of a difference, Pete?
I don't know if he makes that big. He makes a difference, though. I mean, but not that big a difference. How healthy is he? We don't know. That's the thing with these guys. You don't know how healthy they are. Healthy Eric Berry makes a difference. Semi-healthy Eric Berry probably doesn't make as big a difference.
It was interesting when he first came back, we saw him play like a half, you know, because they didn't want to get him a full complement of snaps, and defense looked really good, you know, and people had their assignments and everything. And then he gets off the field, and then it's just back to being a mess, and people are running uncovered for the other team. So it does have a factor. If he can play the whole game, even if he isn't, you know, coverage-wise at his top shape, if he's getting people organized and keeping the defensive scheme going the way it should be in the secondary, maybe that helps a little bit.
I also have 50 on the under in this game. This is another game I think that's going to go under the total.
Wow, you guys are scaring me. I kind of like the overs in these games. You got 50 on the under, 55.5. What do you like about the under? Just the Patriots running the ball and being effective in the ground game?
Yeah, and I think they're going to do a pretty decent job on Mahomes. And look, they're going to score 40.
How are they going to stop Mahomes? Because they can't.
Because they're not going to sit back. Here's one thing about New England. You saw it last week against Rivers. They came after him. They had zero coverage a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I love that. And they're going to do that to Mahomes.
But
take your chances.
But with Mahomes, if you do that, don't you think Andy Reid will know that it could be potentially coming and have screen passes?
But you might as well take your shots instead of
That's
one thing that the Colts did last week. A week ago before against the Texans, the Colts played man coverage outside and had a nice plan. They come into this game last week and play all zone. He just sat there and picked them to shreds.
Just like the Chargers did against Tom Brady.
Correct.
So, yeah, with these interesting thing, I want to ask you guys something. With these high totals, you see these 55, 57, whatever they are, high totals. It's interesting to me because when you get those kind of games in the regular season, you're kind of banking sometimes that the better offensive team is way ahead, and then they're going to give up some garbage points and it's going to push it over. This kind of setting, I don't know that there's going to be that sense. It seems like both these defenses are going to want to play hard for 60 minutes. They don't have they don't have to play next week. Everybody gets an off week. So I don't know that you're going to see anybody keep their foot off the gas if they're playing well defensively. So that in other situations where you might get, you know, 41-10 turns into 41-24 and it goes over. I don't know that that happens here.
I mean, it happened with the Chargers and the Patriots last week.
Maybe they finally adjusted after 55.
No, I mean they just let Rivers, like the Chargers second half was a lot.
That's garbage time. That's garbage time.
Right, but RJ's point is that they're right. not going
to They also had to play this week. I'm saying like with that extra week off.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, yeah, look, I tend to think on this over-under on this Chiefs game, and I'm not taking either over-under because you guys have scared me, and I feel like the over is a bit of a sucker bet, but I like the over in the Chiefs-Patriots game just because we have I think those are probably the two worst defenses out of the four defenses remaining. Maybe not the two best offenses, but I think they have the number one offense in this game. If the Patriots were to get up, Patrick Mahomes would be slinging it. I don't think the Patriots will slow him down if he's doing that. I do think Andy Reid, his conservative nature will take over if the Chiefs have a lead and will probably let the Patriots get back in it, but that will also result in the Chiefs probably slowing down the clock and not scoring a ton of points. But I think if the weather had kept trending the way it was, I would have liked to buy the over if it had kept going down. I don't know that I love buying the over if it's at 55.5 or even climbs. It could climb back up to like 58 for all we know.
Hey, but by the way, the Patriots aren't the worst than the Rams on defense.
No, I think the Patriots are better.
Yeah.
You like the Patriots defense better than the Rams?
They were seventh in the league in scoring defense.
Well, they're better in the red zone. Yeah, sure. That's fine.
They're better.
So if you do like the overs, like I'm going to throw you a bet that I'm not taking, but you might want to take it in this podcast to make up a little ground if you want. But you know, 51 is a pretty key number for totals. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the 27, 24, that kind of thing. The first total I believe we played was 56.5. So if you tease,
teasing both under
51. So yeah. That's at least some way to get some money down on the overs if you like them.
Just for what it's worth, the Patriots were 16th in defensive DVOA. Actually, the Rams were lower at 19th. So there you go, Pete. Maybe you're right. I don't know. I just tend to think of the
one's seventh in scoring and the other one's 20th. That's the stat that matters.
I agree that the Patriots are much better in the red zone. I don't necessarily know that it matters in this game, though, because the Chiefs are going to get their point. Like, do you think that they're going to stop Patrick Mahomes in the red zone? All right, here's a better question. Will Andy Reid, how many over under 2.5 field goals kicked by Andy Reid on fourth down in the red zone, RJ?
Under.
Mm. As in, you think he'll be aggressive and go?
I just think if you get to the red zone,
he kicked a lot the first time they played.
Kick three field goals in the red zone. That's a lot to ask for in any game.
To mention his red zone pick he's going to throw in the game.
You think Mahomes will throw a red zone pick?
I do.
Really? Over under, Pete. 1.5 touchdown passes for Tom Brady.
Over.
RJ?
He'll throw two.
But to who? Like, both are the running backs, maybe? But
maybe. Yeah. Edelman will get loose on one of those little option routes near the goal line.
Yeah, I don't know. That pass offense isn't the same without Josh Gordon. I just don't know who he's throwing to. Gronk isn't the same guy he was. Edelman had all those catches against the Chargers, but you know, who didn't know what they were doing on defense for whatever reason. I don't know that that's going to happen with the Chiefs. So, we'll see. I don't know where it's going to be. I think it's got a lot of throwing to the running backs. That's why I had my James White prop. So maybe if the White touchdown comes in passing wise, then he gets another one. Sure. I could see it going over 1.5.
Over under passing touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes at 2.5.
Over.
I think so, too. Pete?
Under.
Here's C.J. Williams. C.J. Williams. C.J. Anderson is 15-1 to be the leading rusher this weekend on Sportsbook. What do you think about that?
Bad bet.
Do you think Ty Gurley's healthy?
I don't think Anderson's getting as many carries as he got last week.
You're talking about for all four games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't take that.
You wouldn't take that?
No, not with how much Shell played.
Okay. Receiving leaders. Here's
Who did you take in those games?
Oh,
who did you take in the final game?
I am taking the 75 on the Chiefs -3 to win 75. So that means I have one
opposite of both you guys. So by the end of this week, I'll either be blowing you out or get out.
Yeah, you're right back in it, Pete. I mean, and, you know, the road teams haven't really played well in conference championships.
10-0 in the last five straight up for home teams, and 8-2 against the spread.
Yeah, And I got a stat here from my, when we get to the parlays, home favorites in conference championships of less than 7 or 10-1 straight up and 9-2 against spreads since 06.
So, I like the buck trends.
But, you are a trend bucker.
A trend bucker.
Yeah.
Trends aren't necessarily, you know, what's going to happen in the future. So you can do, I mean, underdogs were 14-1 in the playoffs heading into last weekend and the favorites came through. So, if you're right in bucking the trend this week, you're going to win this thing.
Pete, you should, can you say this, do you watch Silicon Valley?
Yeah.
Can you say, this guy bucks?
No, I'm not saying anything like that.
Why not? I'm not going to get you in trouble. You can say, this guy bucks. That could be your motto.
Trying to get in trouble.
How are you going to get in trouble for saying, this guy bucks?
So what do I have left? I bet 150, 150, 50, and 50. So I got 400. So I got 270 left.
You have 270 left.
And I'm letting it fly, baby.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the exotics. Do you say exotics? Did you say that last time? I don't remember who said that last time.
Pete? No, I said, I didn't say exotics.
Ew, gross. this is
the look on your face was priceless.
All right, RJ, you can
go like this. I go, everybody, it's time. You know what time it is. Everybody, you know that voice. Yeah. Princess, look at Princess's face is cheering up. Everybody, it's time for the exotics.
That was pretty good. That's a pretty good voice.
Mainstay.
Pete, you sound just like you were doing your Chuck E. Cheese voice, right? That's a Chuck E. Cheese voice.
Chuck E. Cheese is a horror show.
I know. My wife wants to have my son's birthday party during the Super Bowl next year at Chuck E. Cheese. RJ, give me your exotics that you're rolling with.
So like I said, trust the home teams in the conference championship. It's just that how it's been the last 5 years, 6 years. I'm putting $100 on a New Orleans, Kansas City money line parlay. I think it's plus 160, 165, somewhere around there. That's the safest way to go, if you're, doing a money line parlay, I think. And then I'm going to put $50 on Kansas City to win the Super Bowl at plus 260 for a futures bet. And here's why. You're basically getting them at plus 120 in the Super Bowl on a two team parlay. What I mean by that is if they win the Super Bowl, they got to win this week. So if you take their money line this week, it's about minus 150. Mm-hmm. And then you calculate it to see what you would need to get to plus 260. It's a plus 120 bet for the other side of that. So you're basically taking them at the money line of plus 120 in the Super Bowl.
Now you would need, if they win this week straight up, you would need plus 120 in the calculation?
Right.
Okay. All right.
So if say the other game was plus 120 this week, they've been installed at most
1.5 underdog.
And when you're talking about plus 120, you get minus 140 on their side. You're talking about a 2.5 point spread, usually somewhere around there. So you're getting a point of value on what the spread would be in terms of the money line. So I think you're getting pretty good value there. I think where it's going to open, if it is Chiefs Saints, you're talking about 1.5. You're going to see people like to bet the dog anyway. That money line is going to be around even. It's not going to get much further than even. So I think we're getting good value there by taking the Chiefs just to win the whole thing. If you think they're going to win this weekend.
Interesting. All right, Pete, what do you have on the exotic department?
I have a $50 money line parlay on the Rams and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I have a $50 parlay, four teams, Rams, Patriots, under.
All right. How about $50 Rams plus 3, Pats, or Rams plus 3.5, Pats plus 3, under.
Correct.
Okay. And
then I have, so what do I have left? 170?
Yes. Sorry, I'm, yeah.
$170 teaser on the Patriots and the Rams. 6 points. So I'm getting the Rams plus 9.5 and the Patriots plus 9.
So if the,
one of my teams gets blown out, I'm dead.
Is there a chance that the game ends, that this game ends after this weekend? No.
Because you put some stuff that I did. So if the Rams and Patriots both win, it's over. This piece is going to win the whole thing. But if the other two teams win, then I think it's between you and me. And if it's a split 1-1, then who knows?
Then it would still probably be between me and RJ.
If it was a split 1-1, it's just like we're all taking L's
here. If it's a split 1-1, then it's probably between me and RJ if they're both unders because we both have unders. So
yeah, that's true.
Okay,
so here's what I'm going to do on my two selections, my two exotics. Although one is not an exotic, but I just found it on Sportsbook, so I'm going to go with it now anyway. $150 moneyline parlay on the Chiefs and the Saints to win $278.57. Just so you know, RJ, I had that well in advance of your – this is like the only way I can get back into it. I'm a little mad that you're also doing the moneyline parlay because that doesn't help me much. And then I'm going to put $25 on Alvin Kamara to lead everybody this weekend in receiving yards. At that will pay out at 25-1. So I would get 625 if that happens.
Yeah, I kind of like that because I think they're going to dump it off to him a lot. And, you know, who knows? He runs through the defense. He gets a 50-yard gain, 45-yard gain, a couple of those. And
that's a desperate man looking to make a move.
That's exactly what it is. It's 100%, it's 100% what it is. I mean, he's had, granted it was against Atlanta and Tampa Bay, but both of those in dome games where he's had 20 targets and 12 targets, caught 15 passes, 9 balls, have been over 100 yards. I mean, I think he has to hit, obviously going to have to get over the 100-yard threshold in order to win that bet. But when you look at, like, the people involved here, I mean, I wouldn't be stunned. If you told me at the end of the weekend that Alvin Kamara had more receiving yards than Kelce, Hill, Edelman, and Thomas, I wouldn't be stunned. I think there's a little bit of value there at 25-1.
Right, and then if you're talking about, you know, Pete was talking about Aqib Talib's going to match up with Michael Thomas-y things. If you think that's the case and they're going to take Thomas away a little bit, then who's going to catch balls for New Orleans? You know, it's got to be someone, and they don't really have a lot of filtering the ball to the tight ends. Ginn isn't reliable. You know, you got those other secondary receivers, maybe Traquan Smith that's a breakout game, or somebody out of nowhere has a breakout game. But you start to get down to it, then who is it going to be if it's not Kamara?
Well, I mean, the Patriots, their move is to take away one guy, one weapon, right? Who do the Patriots take away, Pete, defensively, Kelce or Hill?
Kelce.
Right. Kelce's the second. So the odds in this, the receiving for the weekend are Thomas plus 250. And we wouldn't be surprised if Thomas was a little bit neutralized and the Saints went in a different direction. Kelce plus 350, so 3.5-1. Wouldn't be surprised if they took him out. Tyreek Hill at 5-1 is a pretty good option. But if it ends up being a nasty weather day, maybe that's a bit problematic. Edelman 6-1, that's not terrible either. Then Woods, Cooks, and Watkins. For as high-powered as these offenses are, there's you know, fairly minimal, you know, true number one receivers out there, right?
I mean, look, you got to figure out the easiest crutch for a young quarterback, and he's a young quarterback. He's a great quarterback already, but it's still a playoff game against Belichick. The easiest thing to do is go to your tight end. That's the easiest thing to do. So take him away and make the other guys beat you. And I think that's what he's going to do.
Okay.
It's easier said than done. Don't get me wrong. That guy's a great player, but I think the focus will be there.
All right. I think we've got all of our bets in. Pete, did you get a chance to glance at the 2020 Super Bowl odds?
I did. And
anybody pop out to you? Because I'll tell you what,
I know who Brinson likes.
Brinson probably likes the Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, they're too rich, too expensive. I haven't bet on the Browns. They're 25-1 on BetOnline. They were 30-1 at the Westgate. I think that there's some value in the 49ers at 40-1. I think there's a little bit of, I think the Seahawks at 33-1 is a little bit cheap considering what they've done. I think there might be a little bit of value in the Jaguars at 40-1, as bad as the Jaguars were this year.
Is value in the Jaguars, particularly if they get a guy like Nick Foles to come in and play. Those odds, if they get, let's just say they get Nick Foles.
Those odds will climb.
Those odds will be a lot better than that.
Yeah.
Let's not forget they're the team that shut out the Colts when they were on their little run to the playoffs. They shut them out.
I can't wait to isolate that and play it back for the rest of time. There's value in the Jaguars if they get Nick Foles, Pete Prisco said. They just didn't ever expect you to say that, Pete.
They're gonna end up going after him, I think, but they're not gonna trade for him. They'll probably just go, if he becomes a free agent, which it looks like he will, they'll go get him that way.
Well, and the Eagles have 3 days after the end of the season to pick up Nick Foles' option for next year, which is $20 million.
He could buy out of it, though.
He could buy out of it. What the Eagles should do is just say, all right, Nick, we appreciate everything you've done for us. Good luck. Go find somewhere. If you don't find somewhere, come back and sign with us. I'll tell you the team that actually has like a sneaky amount of value on this list of odds. And again, this would be a betonline.ag. The New England Patriots at 10-1. I mean, I don't know what Tom Brady's going to do, and I don't know what Gronk is going to do, and I don't know what Bill Belichick is going to do. But if the three of those guys come back, or even just Belichick and Brady come back, you are not going to get them at 10-1 going into next year. And as they've shown, they can easily win a crappy division and have three games to get to the playoffs and to win it all. So I would take the Patriots at 10-1 as well.
The Falcons at 33-1 is interesting too.
Especially
in a division that flips a lot, right? I mean, they usually flip that division.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I think getting healthy will help them, and their offense is still good. So I think it's 33-1, the Falcons is interesting.
You can't take the Patriots because then they can't play the nobody believes in us card.
That's right. How do they get motivated?
Yeah. It is rare when you see
other bulletin board material, which is the dumbest thing in history.
It is rare when you see a team that, like, almost always when they do these odds and they always released, like, during the Final Four, you know, the NBA Finals or NBA Semifinals or whatever it is, and like the teams who are still playing are at the top. The Patriots are below or like even with the Bears who are not playing, which is a little bit interesting. Anybody you like on there, RJ?
Yeah, I think they're kind of hedging the what if they win the Super Bowl and Brady retires.
Sure,
and
yeah, that's 100% with
that's the hedge right there. I think the best bet, I think Kansas City's going to win the Super Bowl this year, and I think they're going to open as favorites. So even at 7-1, I think they'll be decent value because they're going to come down a little bit if they do win the Super Bowl. And at 7-1, I think they're the best team. I that offense is going to be explosive next year. Like I said, they scored more than 26 points or more in every single game. I don't know who's slowing them down next year. They're going to get a little bit better on defense. If Eric Berry gets healthy, they'll draft somebody to help with the defense. They could sign a player or two. And all of a sudden, if that defense is average as opposed to bad, then they're going to be hard to beat. I think the one value play, we saw that the Browns were 25-1. The Texans are 25-1 too. And with that terrible offensive line this year, they came pretty close. You know, they had the came close to the number two seed. They won the division. Those are pretty tough division, tougher than people expected, you know, going in. And they had that nice run. They have a young quarterback who's only going to keep getting better. And I don't see why they couldn't come in and be in the playoffs again next year, maybe even get the number two seed next year. And that 25-1 is going to look pretty juicy. They're not going to let Clowney get away. They'll franchise him at worst. And then you fix the offensive line a little bit, maybe bring in a guy or two in the secondary, and that's a dangerous team.
What did you say your lowest number you would take the Chiefs at to win the Super Bowl right now is?
Or what? Next year's Super Bowl?
No, this year's Super Bowl. What is it, two and a half?
You point against the spread?
No. Just like looking at Super Bowl, like I'm looking at something hypothetically if one wanted to wager on that right now. +200 is not good though, right?
+200 is fine. I mean, that's probably in the +2 range. +200 is really good. Yeah, I would take them. They're not going to be +200, you know, in the money line. Talking about to win the Super Bowl, both games, right?
Yeah. So to win, yeah, basically like a 2-game money line parlay.
Yeah. If you like them, I think that's fine. I mean, you can chop around and get them at +250.
Right. So yeah. +200 is not, but like if they're -120, you would need what to get?
I don't know. I'd have to throw it into the calculator. I know if you try to parlay, if they were the favorites both time, you know, the two favorites this time, were parlaying to get +160. So it wouldn't be too much more than that. It's probably around -110. So you're talking about a pick'em game probably with the Chiefs, to get to +200.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's right. All right. Anyway, let's get out of here. It's fun times. Pete, anything to add? Anything you want to say?
Nope. Senior Bowl next week, Super Bowl the following week. We're going to get it all cranked up at CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ, correct?
I can't wait to podcast with you from the Senior Bowl. You and Ryan Wilson talking to me. It's going to be so much fun.
That won't be happening.
Oh, it'll be happening, buddy.
No, it won't be happening. You and Ryan Wilson will be happening.
Oh, it's happening, pal. Anybody to watch for at the Senior Bowl? Who are you looking for?
Daniel Jones.
Oh, you like Daniel Jones. Duke's,
I do.
Duke's own Daniel Jones.
Yep, but I want to see him. I want to see him throw live.
Okay, cool. Pete's going to check out Daniel Jones. RJ, anything you want to add besides telling people where to go to check out your picks?
If there's any members of the New England Patriots listening, I want you to know that I do not believe in you. And you can come over here and shove it in my face if you win.
I'm with
you. I do not believe in you to go into Kansas City and win.
Pete believes in you. He thinks you're great. He doesn't want to bet against you. RJ and I think you're frauds, clowns, and your dynasty is dead. Please don't.
Pete is literally the only one that believes in you in the world.
The only one.
Nobody believes in you.
Pete Prisco believes in you. So unfortunately for you, your little bet against this thing is over because Pete believes in you. Good night, Patriots. Good night, podcast world. Good night, Pete. Good night. Good night.